to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later on, we hear Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince in Fort Laramie. But right now, William Conrad stars as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke. This episode from April 17, 1960, called The Solomon River on CBS.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Was a big one. You see that, Mr. Dillon?
No, I didn't, Chester.
Oh, my.
If you're counting heads, I didn't see it either.
All heads I'm counting is catfish, Crown. And that there was number 6 since we've been riding down here along the riverbank.
You right sure you can count that high?
To 6?
Well, you ain't saying you can go higher.
Now, you listen to me, Ben Crown. I can count high as need be. I'll stand up to anybody doing sums. Ain't that a fact, Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon.
What was that, Chester?
Well, I was just remarking to Ben Crown how I can do my sums with the best of them.
Well, that's fine.
It come to mind the way I was counting catfish.
How are you on cottonwoods?
Oh, every bit as good.
Well, I count 3 just ahead there.
Yes, sir, 3 it is, Mr. Dillon.
All right, we'll stop there and water the horses.
Yes, sir.
And you can do your sums while we're resting, Chester. Sort of keep your hand in, you might say.
I'll tell you something, Mr. Crown. Me and Mr. Dillon, we brought in prisoners before that was a sight funnier, and you are just a sight funnier.
All right, let him drink it, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Well, how about my horse?
Water it.
With my hands tied?
You can hold a saddle horn, you can water your horse.
I ain't scum, Marshal. I'm not a killer, neither. Just on your say-so.
It's not my say-so, Crown. You're the face on the wanted poster. That's all I know.
And that's good enough for you, is it?
Good enough for me to bring you in. Now, you gonna water your horse? I'm gonna catch a wink.
I'm not gonna forget you, Marshal. You might want to think on that. I'm not gonna forget you.
Dillon, best rouse yourself, man.
Chester, I guess I must have dozed off.
The horses is all watered and rested up. We're going to make Dodge by evening.
Yeah. Well, we better get a move on, I guess.
What about eating? I can't go the livelong day on hardtack.
Chances are you'll find out you can, Crown. We won't be eating until we get to Dodge, will we, Mr. Dillon?
Wait a minute, Chester.
What?
It's coming from up behind the trees there. Sounds like somebody digging up there.
There's a law against that?
Now, you're the one belly-icking about food. If somebody lives up there, we might get our hand out. Come on, let's go see.
Well, she ain't even looking up, Mr. Dillon. She must have heard us, though.
So. Excuse me, ma'am. Ma'am, you're not making much of a dent with that spade.
Now tell me something I don't know.
You look like you could use some rest.
I don't need you now. It could have come earlier. 2 days, three. It might have mattered then. I sure don't need you now.
Mr. Dillon, she's just skin and bone.
You're no good to me coming now.
Well, you sure shouldn't be out in the heart of the day this way.
You know should and shouldn't, do you?
Well, I just mean the sun is punishing, man.
The sun, the land, the life. It's all punishing. Now go on with you. You're too late. Too late.
Too late for what?
Leave me be. Leave me be.
Now let me have the spade, ma'am. You're not strong enough.
It won't matter. I die in the trying. Leave me to my work.
Miss Dillon?
She just crumpled up.
Yeah. I'll carry her inside.
Ain't no food here from the looks of her. She's starving to death.
Chester, bring Crown along.
I'll just spread out that bed so you can put her down, Mr. Dillon.
Now, there's a cot here. Besides, looks like the bed's occupied.
He's dead.
Yeah. 2-3 days dead. Like she said, he was trying to dig a grave.
Well, that poor thing. She must be near crazy all alone here and him dead.
All right, start a fire. Get some water boiling. Find some coffee. Find some food if you can.
Right away, Mr. Dillon.
You untying me, Marshal? For what?
He was a big man, Crown. Dig a big grave.
Bye, Joan. I'm heading for the ballpark. I'm late now.
Gil Hodges. Look at the list of errands you've left for me to do again. And I'm so busy with spring cleaning.
I know, but it's spring cleaning time for the car, too.
He knows how important it is to change oil filters at least every 5,000 miles. It's Fram for him, for you, too. Fram filters.
You feeling some better, ma'am?
Letty Thatcher. You saved my life. I guess you can call me Letty.
You want some more coffee, Letty?
Well, this'll do me. I thought there was three of you.
Oh, they're outside.
I guess you found Luther.
Yes, we found him.
Did you set him in the ground yet?
We thought you'd want that.
I've been trying to do it myself all these days. Lost track of how many. He was a long time dying. A long time lying there dead. I couldn't help him die. And I couldn't help him once he did.
You got no neighbors?
Nobody fool enough to live here but Luther Thatcher. He was bound he wouldn't live near no settlement. It'd choke him, he said. Crowd around him and choke him. Well, I could have stood a little of the choking myself.
We're heading for Dodge City, Letty. We'd be glad to take you along. I'm the marshal there. Might be able to help you get settled.
Settled at what?
At living. With people around.
Oh, I don't need folks now. I don't need nothing now. Everything I got's here.
You can't stay on here alone, Letty. Off this way, it's not safe for a woman alone.
Safe? I don't know what that means, Marshal. Don't talk safe to me. I got the roof Luther left me. I got a stove and a bed.
But you can't work the land. We couldn't find much food around.
We got potatoes in the ground. And the Lord knows the prairie's alive with rabbits. I'll make do.
Well, can't force you to come with us, Letty. But if something like pride is keeping you here now, that's a big price to pay.
Pride. Pride. I'll show you something, Marshal. Here, out the window. Now, if you look close, you can still make them out. Toward the river from Luther's grave, there's five more. You see, just little mounds of dust now, but you can make them out.
Yes, I can make them out.
My babies, five of them. One for each year we've been here. Them and Luther now. All I got in the world is here, Marshal. I'm not leaving them.
You're not afraid to stay?
I guess I'd be afraid to go.
I just don't see her living on there alone, Mr. Dillon.
She can't see doing anything else. It's up to her, Chester.
I bet we must have rode 10 miles before we come to another farm. She just sat out there in the middle of nowhere, no one to tend for her, see to her.
Why don't you go back and marry her, Chester? You're so all fired sorry for her.
I got a kindly feeling for her, that's all.
You collect stray cats, too, do you?
Digging a grave makes you pretty mean, doesn't it, Crown?
His kind just naturally born mean, Mr. Dillon.
I don't see the sense of choking up over a mule stubborn old woman. You gave her the chance to get out. She's bound she's going to stay. Well, let her. Don't cry for her.
You're a practical man, Crown.
I'm that all right, Marshal.
But you don't know the first thing about a woman's age. If Letty's 25, she's not a day older.
She looks 50.
Part of it's the prairie. Part of it's the wear of living. The strain she's been under.
She could use some plain good food, too. Plump up a little dab. She'd be right pretty.
Some good plain food. Now, that don't hurt nobody.
I'm going to be awful surprised if it makes you any better looking, Ben Crown.
Just a minute. Now, let me get this straight, Chester. You want me to prescribe something for you. Is that it?
No, no. Now, Doc, I didn't say that exactly. What I said was I wanted you to prescribe something.
Well, that's what I said.
You said prescribe something for me.
Well?
I didn't say it was for me.
Oh, well, then, well, who's it for?
You'd have to know that, I suppose.
Well, it'd help. Now, you tell me who it is, and I'll go and see him.
No, I can't do it that way.
Chester, there are times when you don't make any sense at all, and this is one of them. Now, I've had a busy day, and I'd just as soon go to bed as play this game, whatever it is, with you.
It's no game, Doc. My goodness, it's serious as can be. Now, look, I'll tell you. Let's say it's me that's ailing.
Well, I don't know any powers that'll fix what ails you.
Well, let's say I'm off my feet.
Off your feet?
I'm dragging around, half-starved. I need something to pick me up. Like a tonic. That's it. Now, you just give me a nice bottle of tonic, and we'll forget the whole thing.
A nice bottle of tonic?
It don't matter the color, red or green. I got red from the last medicine show that come through here, but I ain't in the least particular as to color. Just something to put the bloom in my cheeks again.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Chester.
Well, now, Doc, I aim to pay.
Now, you listen to me. In case you don't recollect, we just came from dinner at Delmonico's. You ate steak and eggs and 2 helpings of stew, bread and gravy.
And a slice of pie.
All right. Now, I don't call that being off your feed. And you're not dragging around. You're waddling around from eating too much.
You don't think I need a tonic, do you?
I would put tonic last on the long list of things that you need.
Well, what about the bloom in my cheeks?
Chester. Good night.
Now, Doc, you...
Good night.
Oh. Good night.
Was it a hard trip, Matt?
No, they're all hard, Kitty. We rode most of the way to Abilene for nothing, as it turned out.
You brought a prisoner back.
Ben Crown, but he's the wrong man. Got a telegram this morning from Wichita. man named Keeper confessed. Huh? Crown wasn't even implicated.
Well, Chester says Crown kept telling you all along he was the wrong man.
When did you see Chester?
Bright and early this morning. Sam gave him some money, and he picked out a couple of my old traveling dresses.
Wait a minute. He picked out what?
A couple of my old dresses.
Why?
Well, to tell you the truth, he wasn't too clear. He said they'd be put to good use, and he told Sam the same about his money. He muttered something about Doc not seeing fit to give him any tonic, and they went off to Jonas to collect from him. I suppose you knew about it.
All I know is Chester hasn't been around much since we got back.
I kidded him a little about it, asking if he'd picked himself a wife while he was gone. And, well, I know this sounds far-fetched, but I swear he blushed.
I'll be darned.
Where are you going?
I think I better go find Chester.
Now, Matt, if you're not supposed to know, don't you dare tell him I told you.
No, I won't, Kitty. This is something I think I'd rather Chester told me himself. Afternoon, Chester.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Dillon. I thought you'd be gone some longer.
Oh, buying the town out, are you?
You're referring to these parcels, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose I am.
Well, might as well come right out with it. I'd have told you at the first, Mr. Dillon, but folks seems to delight in just making sport of me. I just didn't want to hear no more about me being a sentimental old fool. It's only a kindly feeling I have for her.
You're collecting all this for Letty Thatcher.
You seen right through me, didn't you, Mr. Dillon?
I think it's fine. I think it's a good thing, only...
No, I don't want to hear no more onlys. I got her some food and some clothes and a little spog of money. Ain't enough to wad a shotgun with, really, but it'll do her.
Well, how do you mean to get it to Letty?
Get it to her? Well, it's plain as day.
Well, you can't post it, Chester. No stage runs along the Solomon River nearer.
Well, I hadn't thought that through.
Hello, Marshal.
Chester.
I thought you'd gone by now, Crown.
Fixing to leave right now. Wanted to ask you a favor, Marshal.
Is that so?
Wonder if you'd mind telegraphing ahead to the Marshal at Abilene, telling him my name's been cleared. I'd like to settle there, and I wouldn't want no marks against my name right off.
Well, I guess that could be arranged, Crown.
No.
You're heading for Abilene now?
Well, my horse is outside.
Well, maybe you can do us a favor, Crown. We like these parcels dropped off at Letty Thatcher's. Now, that wouldn't be out of your way.
My horse ain't no pack mule, you know. Ain't but just a few little...
You mean to set up in business in Abilene, you say?
Friend runs the Trails Inn saloon, said I could buy in.
Uh-huh.
Guess if I want you to send that telegram, I'd best oblige you. Huh?
Well, now, you're nice to offer to take these, Crown. I'll just carry them on out for you.
Somehow, I get the idea you were just waiting for me.
We'll be much obliged, Crown. I'll send a telegram right away. And you tell Letty hello for us, will you?
Sure, Marshal. Sure, I will.
Are you out of tune due to irregularity? Then help yourself get back in tune with Kellogg's All Bran. Pleasant, isn't it? The feeling of well-being you get when constipation from lack of bulk is no longer a worry. When harsh, irritating drug laxatives can be thrown away. Because Kellogg's All Bran is the normal, natural way to regularity. Its whole bran content gentles away constipation, supplies your system with the bulk-forming food you need for youthful regularity. And it tastes good, too. Fact is, Kellogg's All Bran is the one and only whole bran cereal that combines proved effectiveness with appetizing taste and crispness. So if you're out of tune, help yourself get back in tune as millions do with Kellogg's All Bran. A-double-L hyphen B-R-A-N. Kellogg's All Bran.
By Jing, Letty sure is going to be surprised. Us showing up here not a week after Crown come through.
I still don't see why she stays on out here. She'd be much better off in town.
I'll water the horses, Mr. Dillon. Oh, here. You want to take the tonic Doc sent with you?
Oh, you bring it when you come back, Chester.
All right, you thank you. I will.
Letty. Matt Dillon. Letty?
You come any closer, I'll blow you off the prairie.
Now, Letty, put that shotgun down.
Any nearer at all, I'll kill you.
Well, what's wrong, Letty? What's happened to you?
You go on. Go on back and tell the good people of Dodge I sure thank them. Only the clothes is ripped and he ate the food. And the money's not worth much now.
Crown was here, then.
Here? Here 3 days and nights. So don't come to collect any thank yous. I paid, Marshal. I paid for all was given me.
Now, Letty, you need care. You can't stay on here. I'm going to take that gun and you're going to go back to Dodge City.
No. I'm through with men forcing me. I'll die or I'll kill, but I'm not enduring any more.
Letty, I'm not going to harm you. Now, I'm your friend. I am not going to harm you, Letty. Now, you give me that gun.
No! Come on. Oh, no.
Chester! Come up here!
Oh, my lamb, but... Oh, ma'am.
This is Crown's work, Chester. I want you to stay here. When she's able, pack her up and take her back to Dodge.
Oh, yes, sir, I sure will, but what about you?
I'm riding to Abilene. Crown.
Well, Marshal Dillon, welcome to Trail's End.
That's for Letty, Crown. Now get up.
Now, wait a minute. She's not worth us fighting over, Marshal. I ought to know.
Widow woman, sick and in need. What kind of a brute are you?
She's asking for it. Staying out there alone? Why, any man would...
If anybody cares, he needs a doctor. Bad.
Come in.
Hello, Letty.
Well, Marshal Dillon, I wondered if you'd be coming to call.
Well, I've been out of town. Doc says you're coming along fine.
Well, I declare that folks here have been so kind. I near forgot how kind and gentle folks can be. Chester, Miss Kitty, Doc, and Ma Smalley.
Hey, Ma says she's having trouble keeping you down.
Well, I got to pay my keep. I can't always be taken.
Well, there's time, Letty. You just get strong and well again.
Marshal, I was wrong. I faltered on so many things. What happened was my doing. Staying on when you tried to get me to leave.
Well, you just try to blot it out, Letty. That's best.
I'm remembering lots of things. All of it. It's right that I do. Luther rest him. Seeing the good of it out here. Wanting to make a place for us. All I could ever see was what we were losing.
You lost a lot.
But folks here, the most of them are building a town, a life. I'm going to be a part of it, part of the good. I owe it to Luther.
No, you owe it to yourself, Letty. I tell you, the West needs women. Women to be part of the good.
For so long, I just said to myself, I wish I'd die.
Well, I wish you'd live, Letty. But you're the only one can do that. Nobody else can do that for you.
Well, that's what I'm coming to know, Marshal. That's what I'm coming to know.
Produced and directed in Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was freshly written for Gunsmoke by Kathleen Height, with editorial supervision by John Meston.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from CBS from April 17, 1960. The radio series would wrap up a year later in June of 1961, with the television program going strong on CBS TV at the same time. Reportedly, the cast was given an unfair audition. Though they didn't look the part, they certainly created the model for future television shows, especially with both the radio and TV series being directed by Norman McDonald. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now another Norman McDonald production. It's Fort Laramie. Raymond Burr, the star, as Captain Lee Quince, from October 7th, 1956, on CBS. The episode called The Galvanized Yankee.
Captain Lee Quince, specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Like the freight's at the far end of the train, Gord.
I expect it is, Captain, because I took care to see the wagons was up front here to make the loading easier.
Well, see, they're moved to the back.
Yes, sir. You got the list, Captain?
Yeah. Two men unloading ought to be enough. Nothing real heavy. Here you are.
Rifles, carbines, revolvers, sabers. Well, it says infantry equipment here.
Well?
You don't suppose they tucked in a few howitzers? We only brought the two wagons.
Anything we can't haul back, we'll leave. Let ordnance do its own work.
Rest of it looks like ours. Bridles, halters, and straps, saddles, nose bags. I'll see to the unloading, Captain.
Right, Gord.
You there, Captain.
Yes?
You from Fort Laramie?
That's right.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm station master here. You better come into my office and get this business cleared up.
Well, the sergeant's got the billing on the army equipment we're unloading.
Now, that's not what I'm talking about. Now you're here, I just want you to get them out of my station. I'm running a guardhouse, you know.
I'd give a little to know what you are talking about, mister.
Them two soldiers chained together in there, and the guard with them. They say they're bound for Fort Laramie.
Private Medford and Private Stringer, is that right?
That's right, sir. The little one, Stringer, he doesn't say much. Tall, blonde one, he's Medford.
And you're Corporal Benjamin?
Yes, sir.
Well, their orders say Fort Laramie clear enough. You got orders, Corporal?
Yes, sir. Fort Bridger, sir, from Fort Leavenworth. A transfer, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I was to escort Medford and Stringer this far, sir, and contact Fort Laramie to secure them from here.
Well, you made contact, Corporal. We'll take over.
I don't understand, sir. Fort Laramie's 40 miles from here. I only telegraphed 10 minutes ago, sir.
We had a good wind behind us on the way down.
Beg your pardon, sir?
We came to pick up a consignment of equipment. Left Fort Laramie yesterday.
Oh, well, then, would you sit about the wind behind
was
you?
It was a bald-faced lie, Corporal.
Yes, sir. The captain displays a fine touch of humor.
You mustn't encourage me, Corporal. Now, you better arrange for your transportation to Fort Bridger. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Good luck to you, sir.
All right, on your feet. Private Stringer?
Yeah?
How's that?
That's me, Stringer.
You stationed at Fort Leavenworth?
I was took there. They give me this uniform, this tall one next to me, a length of chain, then they put me on the railroad.
You're a recruit, then?
If that means that I join up of my own free will, no.
You've been in the Army before?
Mostly, I've been in jail. Don't it say on them papers about me?
If it did, I wouldn't be asking.
I've been in the Army 6 days. I heard talk you could make the arrangement on account of enlistments being slow. I could get out of jail if I signed, I'd join the Army.
Stand up straight. Now, you get this, Stringer. There's not the time to tell you how much learning you got ahead of you. But you learn, starting now, understand?
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. I guess we can take those chains off now.
Is there any reason you ain't asking questions of me, sir?
I don't have to, Medford. It says about you in your papers.
Well, maybe it don't say it all in them papers, Captain.
Says enough. There. Yeah, you ride back to Fort Laramie in the wagons with the equipment. We don't have horses for you.
We ride free of these chains, Captain?
Free of the chains.
Man alone might jump off of one of them wagons.
Might.
But that ain't your worry, sir?
That's your worry, Medford. Jumping the wagon is desertion. If you walk away, you'll be caught. If you run, you'll be shot. Sergeant, dismiss him.
Yes, sir.
Platoon, dismiss.
Captain?
Yes, Sergeant?
I'll see the wagons is unloaded.
Pick what men you need, then take the wagons to the wheelwright. Tell him if he can't fix them proper, to burn them.
Right, Captain. About the new men.
What about them?
Are they assigned to B Company, sir?
They're not assigned anywhere yet, Gorse.
We could sure use them, Captain, starting right now with the unloading of the equipment.
They'll have to be assigned first.
Well, that'll take most of the rest of the day, Captain. There ain't more than an hour's work.
Get someone else to do it, Gorse.
Yes, sir. But there's a reason, Captain, you don't want Stringer and Medford to help?
Yeah? Reasons like you'll be unloading rifles and carbines and 50,000 rounds of ammunition.
I guess when you want to tell me the rest of that story, you will.
And there'll be a right time, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
All right, you two. Fall in behind me. You'll report to headquarters company for assignment.
All right, if I ask a question, mister? Captain?
What is it?
Well, now, I'm brand new to this life, I told you that. I don't even know where this headquarters company's at, and all like that.
I'll see you get there, Stringer. Any more questions?
I got one, sir.
Well, Medford?
When do they outfit us proper?
Proper, Medford?
I mean, I got this brand new blue uniform. When they gonna give me... When they gonna give me my rifle and sidearm?
When you're assigned...
They mean I should have them firearms in. Just like anyone else.
Just like anyone else, Medford.
Captain Quince.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Are these the transfer, sir?
Private Stringer and Medford.
The Major sent me to see they're assigned and quartered.
He's anxious to see you, Captain.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Sabbat.
Corporal Benjamin's telegram wasn't quite clear, Captain. Something about respectfully urging that we pick up two prisoners from Fort Leavenworth.
You get my telegram all right?
Yeah, saying you were bringing two transfers from Fort Leavenworth. Now, which are they, prisoners or transfers?
A little of both, I guess.
If Fort Laramie's to become a military prison, I'd like to hear it from someone other than a corporal.
And these men aren't prisoners anymore, Major. For some reason, they sent them as far as Cheyenne under Corporal Benjamin's guard.
You got their papers?
They're at headquarters company, but I read them. Stringer, they let him out of a civilian jail if he'd promised he'd join the army.
Oh, under that plan to make up for slow enlistments. I read about it when the order came through a couple of months ago. He decided to face that problem when it came up.
It's come up, Major.
Any idea what he was serving time for?
Oh, he gave me the idea. He's made a career for himself being in prison. I didn't ask about specific crimes. I know this. He's never been in the army.
We can fix that part. The other one, he from prison, too?
Yeah. Camp Butler first, then Camp Douglas.
You're talking about military prisons, Captain?
Union Army prisons for Confederate captives. Private Lacey Medford. He's our first galvanized Yankee, Major.
Galvanized Yankee? Never heard that term.
Well, it has something to do with iron. When it's galvanized, it turns color. Men like Medford, they were captured in gray, sent west in blue.
Well, like you say, Lee, this is a new problem for us.
Well, might not be a problem.
No, but it seems likely enough. Most of your men fought in the Union Army.
That war's long over.
Not in men's minds, Lee. For some men on both sides, it'll never be over.
Major, in B Company alone, we got Irish and English bunking side by side. Same with Germans and French. If we can't put a Yankee and a Rebel side by side, we got more trouble than just Indians.
I'm glad you don't consider it a problem.
I said it might not be one. When it is, if it is, I'll treat it as a problem. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
The way you're talking, you've made up your mind to give me Stringer and Medford, huh?
B Company's got fewer men than the rest. Any objections?
No, not from me.
You like challenges, don't you, Lee?
You keep telling me I do.
Well, I hope Medford won't be a problem. But if he is, I'll feel better knowing he's your problem.
Thanks.
What's your impression of him, right off?
Right off, I'd say he's awful anxious to get his own rifle and sidearms. Till I know better, I'm going to figure he's itching to get himself an Indian.
I tell you, Stringer, these private riding lessons ain't going on forever.
Well, I got an idea I could ride just fine if I ever once got on the horse.
Well, you're no youngin'. How you been getting around without learning the first thing about mountin'?
I ain't been getting around, Sergeant. There's been no call for it.
Will you just sit where you come from?
Sit or laid down. You don't know nothing about me? I mean before?
Don't know and don't care. But you're sure looking more like infantry to me every minute.
You mean that Captain ain't told you about me?
Captain Quinn's got important things to think about.
Yeah, he sure has. That Medford. I was Captain, I'd think about him a lot.
Never mind about Medford. He can mount and ride and dismount with the best of them.
He oughta. He was in the dirty yellow rebel cavalry.
Stand a horse.
You don't care about that? You want a stinking rebel in your army?
Now, you listen good to me, Stringer. I got a guardhouse with a fine view of the Laramie River down there. Any more talk out of you, send you right there.
Well, I feel a sight safer in the guardhouse. I ain't been a month out of jail since I was 10.
Well, you just talked yourself right back in again, Stringer.
All right. Fine. Can I talk free about Medford now?
You got anything to say, you say it to me and nobody else, you understand?
Well, you ain't thinking this is no secret about him being a lousy rebel. Why, he tells everybody in earshot. You know, he's proud of it, right, proud.
That's his business.
You fought in that war, Sergeant. How can you stand the thought of him being one of you now?
Maybe because I fought in that war, Stringer. What jail was you sitting it out in then?
You think more of him than me?
You're in for a lot of things you won't understand, Stringer. You can think him over in the guardhouse.
I ain't gonna think nothing over. But here's something you can think over, Sergeant. That yellow rebel's got himself a lot of guns, all kinds, rifles to pistols and back again. Think it over. See if you rest easy on it.
Medford's outside, Captain. You want I should send him in now?
In a minute, Gores. How far has all this gone? Can you tell?
It's all over. About him being in the Confederate cavalry. About how he was took prisoner, sent out here now. This thing about the guns, I hear that all through the quarters, too.
You seen the guns?
No, sir.
I checked ordnance and stores. Everything's accounted for. Ammunition, rifles, carbines, revolvers.
Well, he claims he brought them all in with him. The men say that.
In a haversack and saddlebag?
I'm just telling you what the men say, Captain. You said we was going out in a few days. You figuring to take him along?
That'll be up to him, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
You can send him in now.
Right, Captain. Medford, Captain Quince will see you now.
Sit down, Medford.
I prefer to stand, sir.
Sit down. You got any complaints on your treatment here? I want to hear about them now.
I got a complaint. I'm here.
So I can't do much about that, Medford.
Neither can I. I want free to choose.
If you were free, what would you do? Go back home?
There ain't no home. There ain't nobody. Men like you saw to that.
Suppose you could get out, maybe stake a claim, maybe get a little farm, store.
It's all took out of me. I don't want none of that. I don't want anything save to be let be.
It's not all out of you. The hate's still there.
You bet it is. I get all the strength I got from hating.
Sure, you're feeding it all the time.
Well, there's a lot to hate. This here blue uniform, you can start there. That Spencer rifle you issued me. You gonna let me talk free?
You're talking right free. Go ahead.
Well, that Spencer, I never seen one. I just heard a man about him. We used to figure you Yankees spent one day a week just loading them and the rest of the week firing them at us. We didn't have their like.
No, you didn't. So now you got one. It'll fire 8 shots. Only there aren't any Yankees left to kill.
They ain't nothing but Yankees.
You better get over that feeling, Medford.
I'm gonna die with it.
You don't want to die.
You know that, do you?
You had a lot of chances to die. You could have died in prison if you'd made up your mind to it. You could have died any day out here, starting from the first day you rode in on the wagon.
How you figure that?
You could have jumped the wagon. I'd have killed you. I told you that. And since you're here, you're on the rifle range real regular. The way you've been talking, you could goad a man into killing you.
The men, they've been reporting to you right along?
You've been talking your hate right free.
They tell you about my guns, did they?
Got a lot of guns, have you, Medford?
Well, you ain't searched real good, Captain.
I haven't searched at all. I'm not going to.
If I got guns, you'd have cause to be fearful.
Maybe. Got any more complaints?
What kind of a man are you? I told you I hate your uniform, everything about you, what you stand for.
I'm this kind of man, Medford. I got a cavalry company that's short of men. We're moving out in a couple of days. Now, maybe we don't like the same things, or hate the same things. But we're stuck with each other, Medford.
Well, you taking me on an engagement? Taking me to fight Indians under your flag?
You scared of Indians, Medford?
It's not that.
I'm taking you. You got something you're living for. I want to find out what it is.
Strung out about as thin as we can be, Captain.
You know, the longer they think we can hold them down there, the better. I don't think we'll be able to fool them long.
Got us outnumbered. 2-1, anyway.
Sure have, Mr. Syberts. Our horses still secure?
Behind the top of the rise, yes, sir.
Those Indians are smart. They'll circle us. There's enough of them to do it.
Have you thought about retreat, Captain?
I've thought of nothing else since we got boxed in. We'll retreat when we can, Mr. Seibert. If we can.
Captain, sir.
Medford?
Captain, can you see their horses from here? There must be a couple hundred of them.
The ones they stole, caught in the ravine down there?
Yes, sir.
What about them?
We stampeded those horses. Them engines would clear out of here in no time.
We'd have to ride a charge down there to stampede them. That's suicide, Medford. They'd pick us off one by one as we rode down.
Ain't that our only chance, Captain?
Getting killed's not the chance we're looking for.
Yeah, but, Captain, it's noise.
Get back to your position, Medford. Now.
Yes, sir.
Hold your fire, men. Hold your fire.
Hold your fire. I brought your mount, Captain. You saw what he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going down there, Mr. Seibert. He might still be alive. Medford.
I told you. Stampede run them off.
I told you it was suicide.
We was both right, Captain. You gonna court-martial me?
For breaking orders? Or saving our lives?
My rifle. Is it close by?
You want to use it, Medford?
Just you look at it, Captain.
Brass mounting. Your old Enfield, huh?
I carried that at Brandy Station. Along with an old flintlock and a German musket.
Good rifle, Enfield. I got shot with one at Bull Run.
I had to kill something with it. Captain, you said I had something I was living for. You remember?
I remember.
One decent thing. I was captured after Brandy Station, Captain. They caught me running away. Deserted. I had to do one decent thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're dying decent, Medford. That's something.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Parley Bear, Frank Cady, and Paul Dubov. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Seibert.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. We'll be right back. The thud of approaching footsteps in the darkened room, the high-pitched creak of a door being opened stealthily, the tick of a clock that marks time running out for a doomed man. These are sounds that keep you in suspense. Connoisseurs of crime stories listen to Suspense Tuesday nights on CBS Radio because Suspense specializes in offbeat drama that makes the hair rise and the heart beat faster. Listen Tuesday night on most of these same stations for another taut, spine-tingling story of suspense.
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 7th, 1956 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Thanks for tuning in.